You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Oh, just remember, Orleans Seafood, Marcus Payavla. I call him the Marquis de Payavla. Coming today. I told him to bring
Payavla.
Payavla, that's his last name.
Oh, I thought that was a Spanish word for something.
I know, he's
what
Greek.
What is Payavla?
He's Greek, and he's Payavla.
Some paella would be nice.
Payavlopolis.
Did you ever get any paella when you were in España?
Oh, yes. We ate it like every... I was like sick of it. It was... But I wish...
Those
now
big-ass paella pans.
Oh, my God.
That looks good.
Yellow rice and all the fish and seafood.
I've gone to one before, and that's a lot of fun.
When I was in Spain, that's all we ate was lentils. And paella.
So have you ever gone to, have you ever been to Door County, Wisconsin?
Yeah.
Door County is awesome. For those who don't know, you can get there from Chicago. You can fly to Chicago and get there. But, man, Door County is, if you ever have a chance to go, they have this fish fry thing where you go and they do a big fish fry there. Or is it a fish fry or is it a boil? I can't remember. I think it's a, yeah.
And they make a paella thing?
Well, no. They have this cobbler. Like, yeah, you're part of one. It's a big fish.
And they scoop it out and give you a bowl.
Yeah. It's exactly. And then they got it's like their own version of a crawfish boil.
Yeah.
And it is really cool. But Door County, Wisconsin,
right there
by the Michigan.
That 2 weeks of summer there is awesome.
Man, it's phenomenal.
Yeah. Some good points here. Father's turning over sports teams to their sons. And Houston has gone just fine. Hashtag conductor Cal, hashtag Cal the Dim, hashtag Cal of Duty, hashtag Caldor. That's the first time Cal of Duty I've heard. That's like a.
Yeah, I don't know that duty has been associated with
Cal. Call of Duty, Cal of Duty.
I guess that's what it is.
I guess that's what it is. And then Matt says, I would love for Kellen to be the coach here. This program would not be the same position without Kellen. He comes up with most of the game plans for games. Just listen to Kelvin. Yeah, I think he's a vital part of the program in recruiting and in coaching. So
once again, it's not a question of whether he's qualified. I can't speak to that. That's something they'd have to know in house.
Might already know that about him though.
That's fine. And if he's qualified, that's great. But the whole let's just turn it over because he's Kelvin's son.
No, they might value him there. You don't.
That's
know
what
that.
I said. Yeah. I said that might be the case.
That's probably the case.
Yeah.
But it's
Dell so anti anyone getting
God.
An opportunity.
You're no, that's why I know you're not Italian. You're Nigerian. You don't care about family. Okay.
Well, Nigerian cares. About family.
What are you talking about?
No,
don't
see?
Speak about.
Well,
it.
Nigerians
you don't know
care
Nigerian.
About family typically, but Dell's a little bit of a lone wolf.
Yeah.
I'm just not. I wouldn't turn over something I built up to the dopey cousin. Not that Kellen's the dopey cousin. I'm just saying my dopey cousin didn't know what to do. I'm not giving him the job.
Well, I mean, you watch enough Game of Thrones to know that.
Well, no, but you know you don't have kids, so you don't know. You set your kids up for life. What you do.
I can
in
set
an
my
Italian family.
I can
even
set,
if he's an idiot,
or if in the McNairs who aren't Italian, you can set your kid up for life and ruin an entire city's franchise. Yeah. Yes, that can happen. Yes,
that can happen. The other Eric wants to get in here. What do you say, Eric?
Hey guys, I got three points, and I'll hang up and listen. First point: class of '83, masters, '85 masters from UH, and '84. I was watching. Faslama Jamba, watch that in the basement of the UC Center, of the UH Center with Worrell's ex-wife. It was magical. First point, I think the biggest upset of the tournament so far is when UCLA squeaked back right past Michigan. A lot of people think it's Illinois, but I think more wise guys jumped out of windows when UCLA won that game. Second point, word around the barbershop was, who's the Cinderella in the Final Four? I don't think you can look at UCLA and call them any kind of Cinderella. I think it's UH. Third point, Baylor plays a beautiful game, just like Gonzaga. They play a beautiful game, but UH are scrappers, and if there's any way that they can get something moving, it's going to be on the boards. They are scrappy. They're good at turnovers. They're good at rebounding, and Baylor's bad at rebounding. I'll hang up and listen.
Well, that's the whole key is going to be you got to beat them on the boards, which I think Houston can do, but Houston is a great offensive rebounding team, which is fantastic. The problem is, if you don't get it, Baylor runs. And Baylor's great with their hit-aheads. Baylor will make you pay in transition, where Syracuse was not going to make you pay in transition. Rutgers did some, but Baylor, that's the big concern, is Baylor snatches it off the glass. They are looking to hit it ahead, and they are looking to attack you. So Houston's strength is getting multiple bodies on the offensive boards, but I wonder if that's going to be tempered a little bit just because Baylor looks to get up the court with tempo. I am a little concerned about that. And the other thing is, you got to keep Baylor off the offensive boards. I mean, you've got to win the possession battle, because you're probably not going to win the shooting battle. So how do you win this game, John? You're going to have to turn them over. You got to limit their points in transition. You got to run rebounds, and you're going to have to shoot three better than you've shot it.
You
got to.
This Baylor is bad at rebounding thing. They out-rebound their opponents by 3.8, and they play a Big 12 schedule, which is not something.
Are they a better rebounding team than Houston?
Houston hasn't played a team like Baylor.
Oh, I don't think there's going to be some huge advantage for Houston on the boards either. Not a big team. They're a swarm rebound.
No, Houston is great, especially on the offensive end, grabbing rebounds. It's unbelievable. But it ain't like these dudes are just vital and Chachua and they're going to just let it's going to be a battle. And Houston's got to win the offense. Yes. It's a must that Houston gets a bunch of offensive rebounds because they can't shoot straight. It is a must they get second chance points. A must. Otherwise, this might not be close. So they're going to have to do a lot of the same things. They ain't going to out-rebound them by 19 like they did against Oregon State, or out-rebound them like they did against Syracuse. They're just not. Not like that. Now, I guess not like that. Houston is on the defensive end, they're maniacal. And on offensive rebounds, they're maniacal. They are freaking unbelievably
boing,
good.
Boing.
Yeah.
They have leapers.
I think Jerome put it best. They just throw up shots sometimes and just, okay, now let's go get it. That's like a pass to them.
It almost does feel
like a pass.
Well, if you're a basketball player, you've done the drill where you do the 3-on-2 and there's three defenders trying to block out two, and the coach will throw the ball up. And so three have to block out two. Yeah. And Houston clearly has run that drill a bazillion times because their guys know how to get in position.
Yeah.
And they keep it alive with their arms. Like I saw the other day, slapping the ball, even if you knew you couldn't get the rebound, I think it was Gorm slapping one off the backboard into the hands of another player. Like, if they can't get it, they don't want you getting it. So they're just going to keep the ball alive with an open hand just to poke it out of the way. Houston's grimy. That's the best word for Houston. They're just grimy. You can do whatever you do, and you can be pretty and have the – Houston's just grimy AF. That's their style of ball.
Yeah.
Grimy, grimy basketball.
Now, here's the difference in this game. Dejan took out Thompson, and he took out Boeheim, or Boeheim, as he called him. If he takes out Butler, and Butler doesn't score, they still got Mitchell. They still got Flagler.
Yep.
They still got a Teague. They still got the big guys inside. They still got scorers. That's the huge difference in this basketball game. The huge difference. U of H won because they took away the other team's best weapon. I'm not sure. But listen, Butler has been – he was their leading scorer all year. I'm not sure if you take Butler away in this game that it's going to – it's not going to affect them nearly as much as it affected Syracuse or Oregon State.
No, that's a problem is the team
–
yeah, the team defense has to be really good. That's why I say – you have to make them beat you in the half court. You can't let them get points in transition because I don't think Houston's going to get transition points as much. You cannot let them get transition points. One thing you don't see with Houston is great finishing at the rim, where they're just great get into the paint finishers. They're still a kickout team. They chunk up a bunch of threes. Yeah. And
sometimes they're not good at it.
No.
Well, you know who's got to have Sasser's got to have a huge game.
Yeah,
he Sasser did last game. Is a key. Yeah, well, he didn't shoot well. What was he?
Well, okay, 5 of 19. He had a good first half.
Yeah, he knocked down some threes, but he was not. But again, You know, it doesn't matter. Their shooting percentage doesn't matter because they get offensive rebounds. Let's put it back up again. Let's put it back up again. And, you know, two, three opportunities in the same possession is it's now. Whether
but that
or not,
doesn't happen, but, you get beat. Yes, you get beat 15.
Yes, yes. Brad wants to get on here. What do you say, Brad?
Yeah, I think I know why John's so in favor of the nepotism over there at U of H and letting his son take over as a coach. Don't forget, he's Italian Mafia. That's what the Mafia does. It's always bringing in the family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Omerta thing is why you won't tell us what happened in Chicago.
Yeah. No, I'm not giving up anybody. Yeah. So, yeah. What? What? And? Yeah, that's what happens. And you know what? You don't... hey, you know what, JT? You got to set up your kids for life. That's what you're here for. You set your kids up. That's what you do. And that's what Calvin Sampson's doing. He might be Italian Mafia, too. You don't know. You don't know if he's Italian Mafia or not.
I don't think your people are expanding that much. Is the Mafia even a big thing right now?
Not nearly as big as it was.
I don't know.
Not in this country.
Last time any media about the Mafia was prominent, it didn't seem like they'd appreciate the Calvin Sampsons of the world.
Well, no, but no.
No, I no, don't think he's a, no.
You don't know?
No. Things have changed?
Things have changed.
They just welcome
him. It's a new
world,
2021, though.
They just welcome him in?
Yeah.
Huh, okay. Yeah. To lead?
Yeah.
He would be a leader?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. And we're gonna, sure, that's the case.
Calvin, we're going to lead it through your son.
Calvin would have a nickname. It wouldn't be complimentary.
Time to talk about something that is awesome. How about crawfish? Who loves crawfish?
Me.
I do, too. I love me some crawfish. You can even come to my crawfish boil like an idiot.
I know. Yeah. I had something I had to do.
Whatever. But there's crawfish going to be at the BTR Cajun Throwdown. If you're ready to party, good old days fairgrounds in Hitchcock, April 9th and 10th. All you got to do is get there. Go to BTRCajunThrowdown.com. BTRCajunThrowdown.com. The entertainment lineup is awesome. Whiskey Myers, Frank Foster, my personal favorite, Wayne Toops, Jamie Bergeron, and more. We went, I don't think they had it last year, but we went the year before, and the crawfish was awesome. Everything was just so much fun. They've got stuff for the kids, Zydeco dancing, crawfish eating contest, the kid zone. You get your tickets now at btrcajunthrowdown.com, btrcajunthrowdown.com. It's powered by Budweiser, Mac Vibe Services, Integrity Testing and Inspection, and Out to Ditch Crawfish. That's April 9th and 10th at the Good Old Days Fairgrounds in Hitchcock. Go to btrcajunthrowdown.com.
This is ESPN 97.5. Real fun sports. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 9:17. 713-780-3776. You got any thoughts about the Cougs? You're more than welcome. We've talked baseball. Richard Justice joins us tomorrow right here on the show at 8:30. So you want to listen to that as we open up the baseball season tomorrow. We'll find out against the A's. Mike Fiers is going to throw in the open. Is he throwing in the opener? He's not. Mike Fiers isn't throwing in the opener.
No.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah.
We're sure about that.
Against the Astros?
Yeah.
Mike Fiers isn't pitching against the Astros.
No. Mike Fiers is probably going to pitch against the Astros.
Yeah. No. Mike Fiers has some kind of strain that should be better in about.
He
eight
wants
days.
To throw against the Astros. Okay, that's what I'm talking about. Mike Fiers in this one.
He's got a simulated game he's getting ready to throw.
It's going
to
be good.
He's got a simulated game for Mike Fiers, so hopefully Mike Fiers will be back at some point. Let's see.
Cranky
he's starting to, he's starting it on the injured list. So he's not going to face the Astros for sure in the first time around. The question is the second time around.
Cranky against Bassett, Javier against Luzardo, McCullers starts game 3. Urquidy game 4. They haven't named it. It's probably going to be Luis Garcia on Monday at the Angels. Probably. And then Greinke again on Tuesday. Day off. And then they come home against Oakland and Detroit. You get to see A.J. Hinch right away. Are you guys excited to see A.J. Hinch?
Yeah. I like it. Yeah.
You're excited?
Well, I mean, I don't know if
excited. I'm excited because Detroit's going to suck, so I'm excited to have A.J. Hinch.
Yeah, they probably will. Yeah, no, I like A.J. Hinch. I'm glad he didn't have the White Sox gig.
No, right.
I'm glad they gave that to old Tony La Russa.
Yeah.
But, yeah, because A.J. might do some business over there. But, yeah, I'm a fan of A.J. Hinch. I like A.J. Hinch.
Mm-hmm.
A.J. was that calming dad presence that you needed for the Astros. I'll always have a special place for anybody that wins championships. Is he the Rudy T of baseball?
He's arguable. Well, I don't know.
I mean, he went out.
Who's the best coach ever here, professional coach ever here? Is it Rudy or is it AJ?
I mean, or June Jones is in there too.
Well, not really.
The Roughnecks.
Well, 5-0 would have won the title, but okay.
Jerry Glanville. Or no, who was the...
Glanville?
No, it was Pardee, right? Pardee. For the Gamblers? Yeah. Let's see. I would say the best coach in Houston history. Is it Kelvin Sampson? We'll find out.
I'm asking pro.
If Kelvin Sampson beats Baylor and Gonzaga, Kelvin wins.
Wins.
The best pro coach in Houston. I don't think it was Rudy. I think Rudy understood how to deal. It's even a well-known fact that Carroll Dawson did a lot of the X's and O's stuff. He was he massaged egos, and Rudy did what needed to be done, and he also didn't outthink it, just get the ball to Dream. I would say the best coach in Houston history. I think Van Gundy was a good coach, but obviously it has to come with more success than that. So I'd make it A.J. Hinch, even though there's plenty of times I didn't love some of his moves, and he is the orchestrator of 8 outs to go.
Yes, he is. No, yeah. What was the 9 men out in the White Sox 1919 scandal, and A.J.'s 8 outs to go? That's terrible. LSU Brian is here. What up, LSU Brian?
What's up, guys? Good morning. Hey, I heard y'all talking earlier about the best scenario for the Rockets is the Nets imploding so we can get so these picks could be worth the crap, which is true. I mean, the best case scenario, especially for a quick rebuild, is they get top 4 this year. And they actually get the pick right. So I got to go back. What are the odds Wednesday? So what do y'all think? What are the odds? The higher odds of the Nets, winning the next 2 championships and those guys are satisfied so they move on and then the team becomes crappy, or they actually implode, they don't do worth the crap, say next year. Or whatever, and that's how they split up. What do y'all think is? I actually think they're deep. I think they're actually going to win it this year, and if they keep everybody for next year, I don't see how they can't win it again. But I'm wondering, what do y'all think what scenario is going to play out? Them winning a couple and breaking up, or they actually imploding and breaking up?
I don't think win is going to lead to breaking up. You don't win something and say, let me get out of here. That's typically not how it works. I think you have to hope for the implosion.
Well, it did in Miami, right? They didn't implode.
No, they stayed together for a while.
4 years, right?
They didn't leave.
4 years. That was all. I mean.
Well.
And then they went. Then they left.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Did Dwayne stay there still? Yeah, Dwayne stayed there.
Well, Dwayne did. But
well, that's LeBron going back to Cleveland. LeBron is a different kind of guy.
Yeah, but so is Kyrie.
No, that's why I think
implosion. You can't count on it.
No, I think the implosion is possible.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I'd rather Kyrie stay there. I don't want Kyrie going somewhere else because then things might go smoother. I need Kevin Durant hurting his thumbs like a shooting thumb on Twitter. If he is on Twitter or Instagram stories and he's fighting with people, if he hurts his thumb or gets carpal tunnel is a serious deal. If he gets carpal tunnel with his shooting hand, because more than likely that's also the hand he really holds his phone with, and he doesn't have the same follow-through, that's a huge impact on that team. If he fights with people on Twitter and Instagram so much that he hurts himself, which is possible, unless he uses voice-to-text, but there's too many misspellings all the time. And I think that
I don't think he's scared of that.
I think that gives you a chance. Kyrie could go full conspiracy theory. There's no telling. He may take a month off, 2 months off for a fashion week at any point. You just never know with Kyrie.
Or a birthday.
Yeah, or a birthday or whatever the case may be. But KD could get hurt. Now, James is going to – James has played through strip clubs. He's played through trips to Cabo in between games. Like, you can say what you want, but James is an iron horse. Mm-hmm. I mean, James shows up. There's not a stripper that can keep him from getting to a game. Nothing. I don't know if he's taking shots of what he needs to take or whatever, but you can't stop James Harden. Say what you want. KD may – you know what? James is on that team. Here you got soft Kyrie Irving. You got Mr. Twitter Thumbs. James just shows up. Strip club until 4 in the morning. Then he comes and gets you 36. I got a different level of respect now for James. Mm-hmm. I got a different level of respect. He's probably looking around and like, these dudes are soft.
KD always hurt. Kyrie's got a bunch of birthdays.
And they're talking about what could happen to him right now on First Take. That's good old Freddie Jackson's making an appearance, so that's cool.
Do you think KD with the CS in and the...
Well, if you look at the articles...
Who is that on the other side?
I don't know, but he's always got a...
I said Jackson. It's Freddie Coleman.
That's Freddie Coleman? Coleman?
Yes.
That didn't look like Freddie Coleman.
He's always got a face like...
What do you mean?
A frowny face.
Oh, he's lost some weight and he put a goatee on. That's Freddie Coleman from ESPN. He does the late night stuff here. You'll hear him.
Oh, no. I was on his show a couple weeks ago.
Wait, late night stuff.
I didn't know that's
here,
what he looked like.
Meaning what?
National radio.
Yeah, national radio here.
National ESPN.
You'll hear it overnights. Yeah, sometimes. Yeah.
Not Sportsman.
No, ESPN. Still okay, with ESPN. They're talking about it, and if you look at the articles, it's couched as homophobic and misogynistic. Does KD catch a large fine for this?
Oh, yeah. He don't care, though.
He's not playing, so I don't care about that.
Now Michael Rappaport's going to catch a fresh one.
From who?
From KD.
Okay. KD has apologized on Twitter. Apparently, KD said, me and Mike go at it harder than that, and now he want to get mad. So that was his form of an apology.
Oh, sea guzzler, sea sucker, sucking the C and the D. What?
E and
grown-ass people don't go at each other like that, where you're like, oh, that's just how we do it.
Do they say
enemy stuff.
Do they say your wife doesn't even respect you?
That's personal. Come on, KD.
Yeah, me and Mike talk crazier than this on the regular, and today
Dream
he's pissed.
About that.
Don't. My bad, Mike. Damn. He thinks that's just part of how they talk to each other, so we'll see.
Damn, I didn't know you were going to take that so personal.
You mean when you said my wife doesn't even respect me? Is that what I was supposed to not take personal?
You mean that?
Calling me a C and a... You called me a C, said I do stuff with C, and multiple Cs, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, multiple. In multiple ways.
Yeah. Net star Kevin Durant unleashed vile homophobic rant at actor, so it's been picked up, and you start throwing homophobic and misogynistic, he's going to catch at least a large fine, I think.
Yeah. Nick Bosa should catch a large fine.
Why? Because he's with an attractive woman?
Holy crap. Have you seen this? Jenna Berman? She's not related to Mark, right?
Or Chris?
I know it's not Chris. And it's certainly not Mark. Holy crap. Dude, Nick Bosa's living his best life right now.
So let me get this straight. A young, highly paid professional athlete has an attractive girlfriend? Is that what you're saying?
That happened.
Huh. It's odd.
Yikes.
That's curious.
And she dances in a bikini, which is... Hey.
That was... Nick Bosa was definitely going to be dating a bikini model.
Yeah. No. We can't...
He's
we
one of the bros. You know that was happening.
We don't need this in our lives.
Do you want to do what Lance wants to do to Sean McVay, or are you okay with him dating a model?
Okay. No.
I don't know what y'all are talking about.
Oh, you don't?
Mm-mm.
Would you like to be reminded?
Nope.
I like to spit in his mouth while he sleeps.
Well, you know what?
No.
You know what that was about? That was about the way he was building his roster.
No, no it wasn't.
Yeah, I was like, why are you trading away for all these?
Girlfriend.
I don't care about that.
It was because of how successful, young, and what his girl looked like.
Yeah.
All those
about
things.
All that stuff?
Yeah, you did at the time. Maybe you're more mature.
I don't recall it that way. I think you're misremembering.
No, maybe you're more mature now because he hadn't been to a Super Bowl in a couple years, but at the time... That was more it.
Might I remind everyone out there that if you're looking for something to do with your family after all your Easter festivities, why don't you give the Rockets a look? The Houston Rockets are taking on Zion Williamson and the Pelicans on Easter Sunday. That's this Saturday, April 4th at 7 p.m. For as low as $99, you can get four tickets, four hot dogs, and four drinks for a fun, safe night out in Houston. This includes beer, wine, soda, or water. For as low as $99 for tickets, hot dogs, and drinks. That's incredible. And yes, you can go to the Rockets in a very safe atmosphere. You can check out a great game with one of the best young players in basketball, Christian Wood. Oh, yeah, and Zion also, by the way. The Rockets Family Pack Ticket Special is one that you do not want to miss out on. Rockets are also having an Easter egg hunt for the kids from 6 to 7 p.m. with great prizes in each egg. It's going to be a lot of fun. Grab your Rockets tickets today at Rockets.com.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks. Go.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Wow. Next week is the Masters. Will says Webb Simpson is his pick. It's a great pick.
John's coming back in, and I'm giving him information. He's, you know, I'm giving him LSU information. He's getting Masters information, so we know what to precedent.
He ain't making me. Jamar Chase ain't making me no money. Webb Simpson
is he? Well, I'm just telling the world, you know, for people who care about other things besides golf.
Nobody cares about anything but golf.
Jamar Chase put up a 4-3-8. 40?
4-3-8. Where's he go?
He's going to the Dolphins at 6 or Bengals at 5. Jamar Chase will be the first wide receiver off the board.
Yeah.
Those traits are ridiculous. I mean, he's over 6 feet. My guess is he'll be close to 200. Maybe in the high 190s so he could run fast. 4-3-8, even if that time's a little off and it's a 4-4-1 official, it's fast. My guess is Terrace Marshall ran faster because they say he is faster. But so on tape, it's weird because Jamar Chase has this – unique level of acceleration he can get to whenever he wants to. You know he's a great leaper, 40-inch vertical leap. We saw that. We saw that in the way he wins the ball up in the air. But, yeah, I need to go find that pro day. What are we doing? Is it on 212? NFL Network? I'm watching
Drew Locke's pro day, and that worked out.
Why are you watching Drew Locke's pro
day? I don't know. Somebody just tweeted it out. The pro day throw. This is the best pro day throw ever.
Weirdo stuff.
No, it's for you nerds.
Yeah.
It's for you pro day nerds. Okay?
I am a pro day nerd.
You are a pro day nerd.
Is this the other Renee? No. No, we had, is it the other Renee? Who is this? We had this guy on.
Yeah,
right?
We had Eric on already.
Oh, okay.
No, he's been on. 713-780-3776. If you would like to get in here, 713-780-3776. This is Nick Caserio, Rivers McCown, apparently talking about Jack Easterby's role. I can't really speak about what has happened in the past relative to his role. Jack's an important part of what we're doing, and I think we should all be grateful that he's here and he's got plenty of responsibility. Okay.
Did he explain why we should be grateful? Or is it just a text?
The world should be grateful.
Okay. I would like an explanation why anyone who roots for the Texans should be grateful that Jack is here. Who did he do this with? This
Albert Breer.
Ask the question, Albert. It's an easy one to follow up. Why should Texans fans be grateful that Jack is here? It's an easy question. Easy follow up.
Why do they, here's a good question. Why do they never talk about what exactly he does exactly?
What's his exact role, and why should we be thrilled that he's around? We may understand.
It's always, he does a number of things.
Yeah.
Well, Nick, that might be the case.
Nick, I know why you're thrilled he's around, because you have this job because he's here. But why should well, I be
not
thrilled?
That's why I have a job.
Yes. It's why he has this job. Jack Easterby's the reason Caserio has this job.
Oh, I thought you meant me.
No, not you.
I mean, I thought you meant John. No, I know we thought John was a sleeper cell, but I don't know.
No.
I didn't know where you're going.
I don't know. I don't think that's why John has a job.
For those who don't know, Dell and I do suspect that John could be a sleeper cell for Jack Easterby because he follows one of Jack's minions.
Dylan Thompson's not a minion. He's actually the chaplain. He's the team
minion.
Is he character team minion? Coach? He's character coach for the Houston Texans.
That's literally what Jack did. Jack's his mentor.
Well, guess what? Great. You know what? You're going to be the president of an organization someday. Congratulations, Dylan Thompson.
Now do you like
now
that?
You wish you now were you like on this? Team Easterby.
So how do you like all this nepotism over there for the Texans?
That's not nepotism.
You're
he's not
keeping
related.
It in the same thing.
He's not related.
It's the same deal.
No, it's not.
Keep it in the same family.
Oh, you mean you hire somebody that's great at their job like Dylan Thompson and it's nepotism all of a sudden?
Or what about Easterby?
Well, he's not even related to him. Nepotism is... Oh, my gosh.
I know why exactly what nepotism is, but it's the Jack same thing Easterby, with the Texans.
This Jack Easterby
keep it in
slam,
the family.
It's got to stop. It's got
why
to
does
stop.
It have to stop?
No, because Jack Easterby's an important role. He's got an important role with the organization. No one knows what it is.
What does he do then?
No one knows.
Brian Mitchell just dunked on you on Twitter.
Ooh.
He
said, greatest coach in Houston professional sports, Van Chancellor, 4 rings.
Thank you. Champion.
He is kind of. He really kind of is.
So
and great golfer too,
John. Are you thrilled that Jack Easterby is here? Like Casario says, you should be.
Yeah, I got a one fish, two fish shirt because of him.
Yes, you do have that.
All right, one fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish.
I do.
You know what I'm saying?
I
mean,
you know what I'm saying?
I just need someone to tell me what he does. That's all.
Jamar Chase 438, Terrace Marshall 438, Racy McMath 434.
Racy McMath's the fastest LSU wide receiver.
And how much was Terrace?
438.
That's a lot of fast dudes. Racy can run, and Racy's big, too. He's going to be a special teams guy.
Yeah,
Racy's a special teams demon. Not so great at the wide receiver.
Got a good name, though, Racy McMath.
Now, yeah. I don't have speed numbers.
You better be fast.
For Kyle Pitts, but apparently he measured in as having the largest wingspan in combine history for a tight end. 83 3/8.
For wingspan?
Yeah.
So that's probably 34.5 arms. No, he's not a broad back guy. That might be close to 35-inch arms. That's insane. There's no chance.
Well,
83 is tip to tip, which means tip of your fingertips to the other tip, which means the broader your back is, the longer your wingspan can be.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't have differences. Like your arm length is different than your wingspan. I prefer arm length personally. But
Devontae Smith?
What about Devontae?
I mean, he looks like he's got long arms.
Yeah. Well, and he high points everything great. Yeah. Like, it's how you use – don't worry.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Pitts is really good at that, too. You haven't seen anything else on Kyle Pitts?
I got it here. No, in terms of – it's all about the size with him.
That's fine.
The largest of any tight end in the last 20 years, the 83 3/8. Height, 6'5 5/8", 245 pounds. Hand size, 10 5/8", and arm – 33 4/8.
How much do you think
32.5-inch arms?
All these draft nerds regret not seeing him in his underwear this year?
I think there's a little tingling when they hear these numbers, but they can't be fulfilled because they didn't get to watch him.
Oh my God, look what we missed out on.
Yeah. I mean, was there a little surge?
If those people who do that kind of nerd stuff, that's not
those
me,
people, yeah.
But you could Google if that's how you wanted to roll, Kyle Pitts shirtless probably. Or Kyle Pitts working out, or weight room, or something like that.
Mm-mm.
Why don't you search it on your computer?
I feel like it's a progression. When you hear those numbers, you get that urge.
I will say those are elite traits.
And then you're like, I don't want to search it.
I'm kind of excited about.
But the combine wasn't.
See what those numbers are.
But the combine didn't come through. Kyle Pitts shirtless.
Don't get it. You're talking about we don't see shirtless. We see in your whatever your workout gear is. Everyone's
well, Justin Fields running shirtless.
Unless
I'm sure
Chris
you guys
Jones
like that.
Is on there and his stuff is out. Pops out because he falls down and his pants rip and his stuff and his junk flips out, and then he's an all pro.
Is it one for one? Junk falls out, all pro. Is that the thing?
I'm just explaining what happened. I don't know that one begat the other.
Was there a gasp in the media?
But yeah, we were horrified. Like everyone.
Put it away. No,
Chris.
What I'm saying is he the only one to have it, you know, flop out and then he became an all pro. So if you do this, that automatically means you're an all pro because it only happened once to one guy and he became an all pro.
I mean, if somebody else wants to try it, I don't know if that's going to create all pro for you, but you know, you want to give it a give it a look-see. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Will you rewatch both these pro days?
I don't rewatch pro days. I don't rewatch.
You have that on continuous loop?
Yeah.
No.
Will you watch the clips over and over?
No.
And put music to it?
No. Put the music from Magic Mike, the pony.
Yeah. Genuine.
Wah, wah, wah.
Well, you make jokes, but do you hear that song when you think about pro days? Do you hear Genuine?
I don't know it. I didn't watch Magic Mike.
No, but when you hear this song.
I missed Magic Mike for some reason.
This song has stripper song. Well, it's not as a stripper song, but then they used it for Magic Mike.
When you roll up to the combine.
Well, you didn't have to get the beginning where you heard the.
When you roll up to the combine.
Go ahead.
And a guy takes his shirt off. Like when. Does this start to flat? Do you start to hear the beat for this song?
Here, turn it up.
Did Justin Fields take you to your limit yesterday when he had his shirt off?
No.
Did Justin take his shirt off yesterday?
To run the 40.
But no.
He did?
He did have a tattoo right here.
Well, so then you saw him with his shirt off.
He did run a 4.440.
And that got you excited.
What did you do when you saw Joe Burrow without his shirt?
Yikes.
Get some sun.
Yeah. Joe's been working out.
Joe's
got that Tom Brady thing.
You see,
going out.
And so is Mac Jones.
No. Not as much. No.
So I don't know who it was said this on Twitter, said, oh, a quarterback coach. He said, I want the arm strength, I want athleticism, and I want football. And the guys in this draft that fit that bill are Trevor Lawrence, Trey Lance, and Justin Fields. Justin Fields obviously we saw what Justin Fields
You know who said that? That's one of the quarterback coaches that works with Quincy Avery.
Yeah.
With Quarterback Takeover. I saw the same thing, and I retweeted it yesterday. And I would agree with him. That's how I see it. I think that I don't see it with Zach
Said
Wilson.
Tom Brady, who just won his 90th Super Bowl.
Yeah, but that's the outlier of all time. If you keep looking for your next
Tom
Brady,
there've been plenty of non-athletic quarterbacks that have won.
No, but when you're talking about
would you put Drew
recently.
Brees or would you put Drew Brees or Big Philly or Roethlisberger or
Roethlisberger, the big strong dude until he got old.
These guys.
Name the guy that looks like Mac Jones or Zach Wilson. Which one of those guys? Drew Brees is it, and Drew Brees started playing football in 2001. For in the NFL. It's a different NFL now.
Yeah, I know it is. And I got Lamar Jackson, who is not good in the postseason because he can't throw the ball.
Look at the draft last MVP. Year. The guy.
Yeah, and he can't throw the ball in the postseason.
Allen, mobile.
Justin, I criticized him because I didn't want him on my team. And
Justin
the guy who had the best year, big athletic, can move. Yeah. Justin Herbert.
No, absolutely. And we'll see if he wins. Guys, if he wins at the highest level,
we'll see.
Big athletic is the new brand of football. I mean, it really is. The Tom Brady's and Peyton Manning's, I think they're turning into dinosaurs because there's just too much pressure in the NFL. And frankly, your offensive lines aren't good enough anymore. Like, that's the big concern now is O-lines kind of stink. Look at this. Look on Good Morning Football, the guy on the left. I can't even recognize Sean O'Hara anymore. It's an embarrassment. He's 230 pounds now.
He was an offensive lineman.
My dad
Giants?
Coached him. Yeah, Giants, the Cleveland Browns. Now look at him. Looks like a regular person.
Go look at Joe Thomas now.
Yeah. What's wrong with y'all?
An underwear model.
The guy on the right is an offensive lineman, Quinn Miners. That's what they're supposed to look like, throwing kegs around for workouts, lifting weights in the mountains.
When Quinn gets paid to be on TV, he'll look like the other dude, too.
I don't think that dude will ever look like that.
Well, I'm just saying, the other dude said, no, I got to be on TV.
At one point, you would not have said that about Sean O'Hara either.
Yeah, probably not. 944 ESPN 975-713-780. 3776 is the number if you would like to hang out with us. Don't go anywhere.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now. Do it. Do it. Do it now.
You're
listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
A bit earlier in the show, we were talking about Vernon Maxwell being on with, I don't know, Raja, right? Was it Raja?
Raja Bell and Logan Murdoch. It's a Ringer podcast called the... I forgot what it's called, but it's a basketball podcast.
Vernon Maxwell was on with him, and he talked about his hatred of Utah and the stuff that he's been doing with Utah. He's got a giant tattoo right there on his chest. That's Justin Fields. Anyway, Vernon was asked about Mike. And Dell had to clean. He's got a filthier mouth than KD, I think. Nah. No, KD's got pretty filthy. If you haven't seen the KD stuff with Michael Rappaport, you need to look at it. Just look it up. Or you can listen to our podcast, which is on ESPN975.com now. You can hear it. Will's the best intern. Does he have it all in there already? Yeah. Will's the best intern because he gives me golf picks.
Yeah, let's be clear. You have a certain affinity for Will because he's in that niche, into that niche sport.
Did Mary ever give me a pick? No.
Is he good at giving you golf picks?
No, he did the golf show with me, though. I mean.
I thought you said he gives you golf picks.
Well, yeah. He gave me Webb Simpson. I'm going to put him in my fantasy.
Oh, your fantasy? You don't gamble individual? You didn't gamble on. How are you not gambling on golf?
I
on a whole, like.
Yeah.
Matchup by matchup? Yeah, I think you'd be all over that.
I've done it, and I haven't done very well at it.
Oh, so
yeah, it's like, you know what? The golfer you think, oh, yeah. In golf, it's, you know, you could hit one bad shot, and it's you know, lose. It's stupid. Golf is stupid like that.
Thank you.
No. Stupid like that and hard. Stupid hard. Oh, not like every other sport, which is easy.
Just stupid,
golf
actually.
Is the most strenuous sport in the world. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure.
Anyway, so Vernon was on with those guys.
Yeah, it's called The Real Ones Podcast.
And here's what he had to say when asked about playing against Mike.
What was it like playing against MJ, man? What was it like? Because you were somebody that was a foil for him. You were somebody that got under his skin. You didn't give a fuck about Roger, MJ.
Yeah, Roger, when you play against that month, you got to be a little different. You can't go in that month game like passive and like that motherfucker, he can sense a motherfucker you scared. He's a killer out there, man, and he's a dirty motherfucker. But I'm just saying, yeah, he was. I mean, you have to be, man, to be that great, man. I mean, yeah, night in, sure. Night out, you have to be a dog and have to have that grit, that dirty and all that. So, I mean, Roger know what I'm talking about.
Listen.
So he went on, and to say that, you know, you
it
got
would take too long for you to cut everything.
Oh no, you can't. I mean, that editing. What awesome. You're a whiz.
I was already making.
But there was you were close.
It was
with one of them. Yeah,
the that very first one.
He went on to say, as he was, you know, said, yeah, and you got to get in hit. You got to give him the business as well. Otherwise, he don't respect you. He says, I'm playing against a B tonight. If you don't come back at him.
And he said, Vernon tested him like. Yeah, what's up?
Yeah.
That's how it's going to be all night.
Yeah, that's right.
He goes, what happened? What you think happened?
Vernon is great. I'm with you. I don't know that he really writes his whole Twitter.
There's just no way.
I don't know. I just don't know.
He's going to need to stop acting like that's Vernon.
I don't.
Dear Utah, I'm sorry you don't have internet access, but that ain't Vernon. Vernon may hate Utah, but somebody's running Vernon's account. And guess what? He's getting Rex Chapman. Just doing block or foul turned into like this huge internet phenomenon. And Vernon is slowly, he's more regional,
yeah.
Admittedly.
Well, I'm pretty sure he's big in Utah here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I instead of using bleeps, I just cut him out. Like Vernon dropped like four mother effers within 39 seconds.
Never on a tweet.
Is there, maybe he just cleans it up when he writes. I don't know.
Oh, I don't know.
Never have you seen him tweet that.
And there's no IMAs, and come there's on. No, come on. I mean, there's no, I mean.
No IMAs.
Yeah.
No WANAs.
Maybe he just writes differently, gentlemen.
Yeah.
I don't know. You
don't write how you talk, John.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, a lot I do. I can hear John saying that.
A lot of, yes, I do, in a lot of instances.
Not
I never swear behind the scenes here.
Okay.
Okay.
You and Kevin Durant battling out for most vulgar. But at least you keep it private.
No, he wins.
Huh? You sure?
Yeah. I mean, even though John's a filth mouth, he can't even touch KD.
Whoa.
I don't know. I've heard.
He does CF.
Yeah, he does CF.
That's his word, but not that. So? KD just went CS, CF, CG, CP, yeah. CD, all of them.
He used all the C's.
He said things I didn't even know were things. Yeah. Like, I thought, oh, is that a...
He said things that he said things that girls who move from, like, Iowa get told in scenes that they do in the Valley in L.A.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn.
Well, that's awfully specific. Scenes in the Valley of L.A.
It's my way.
Very specific.
I'm like, damn, KD.
Porn reference.
Yeah, I just didn't want to use porn. I just wanted to allude to it very clearly.
In the Valley of L.A.
Very clearly. Damn, KD. That girl's 21, and she just moved from Ames. You can't talk to her that way.
You can't say that to her.
That's not nice.
Catching somebody off the bus stop in New York.
Yeah. Hey.
So Ja'Marr Chase knocked out the highest stick on the high jump.
Yeah.
So how do you know how high he goes if he could go? He could go even higher.
I don't know how that works.
I mean,
didn't they say he had a 41-inch vert?
That's what they measured him as.
41-inch vert, 4.38.
Enough.
How much is he?
Josh, and I don't know how to say his name. You do know that a wide receiver from Indiana post or Illinois posted the Nigerian too.
Yeah, we're running this thing right now.
Nigerians literally run everything athletic right now. Jason Owe,
the Kenyans run the show.
They had a 250-pound line or. Defensive end ran a 4.38 the other day. Nigerian. Jason Owe. His name is Afisa Owe or something like that. But he's Jason now in Penn State. But you got three champions who are Nigerian. Well, they're African. I don't know if they're all Nigerian. In the UFC.
Mm-hmm. The Heat have six Nigerians on their team.
Heat has six Nigerians. And then you had this guy, Josh Inamatarabe or something.
Inamatabebe, is that his name?
Yeah, like Inamatabebe.
Didn't he transfer from USC?
He did, from USC. He jumped 46 and a half inches, John. And I was already told by Dusty Stanfield, he goes, oh, he's testing it. And I called the Exos guy, and he's like, oh, yeah, Josh is going to have the highest vertical leap ever in recorded history for football. And he did, 46 and a half. But don't look now, Kadarius Toney's actually putting together a real strong pro day also. So he and Pitts, one of them could be a Texan.
So this is a pretty damn good receiver draft.
It's a really good. I think the top end receivers are better than last year.
Really?
I think all three of the best are better than CeeDee Lamb
and
Jerry Jeudy and Ruggs. I think Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith, and Ja'Marr Chase are all better than those three.
What about in the third round? How are those?
It depends on who goes first round. There's some guys. There's some guys out there that it's not a bad draft at all for wide receivers. I think you can find some help at wide receiver, maybe even in the fourth and fifth round. There's a kid named, some of the guys I like don't catch the ball great, which I thought we were trying to get away from that. Yeah, but like.
Yeah, but didn't Will Fuller drop a lot of passes?
Yeah. Well, this kid named Trey Nixon from Central Florida has got some ability. Jacob Harris from Central Florida. Central Florida has produced. They've got these unbelievable Gabriel Davis, who's with the Buffalo Bills now. I don't know how Central Florida is not the best team in college football with these athletes. They're cranking out.
They don't get them on the defensive line.
No, I guess not. But Central Florida's got some talent coming out. But there's some guys that can be Texans. Look, the Texans are gonna. What I'm worried about is cornerback. How do you find okay cornerbacks in the third? It's to the point where I think the Texans almost have to draft a cornerback in the third round. You almost have to get the best on the board in that third because you stink at corner. You stink. You have no good young players. Reed is an average slot, maybe, nickel. And you saw they played him early.
And he couldn't.
And then they weren't even playing.
Yeah, they couldn't.
We got to go, but you talk a lot about college sports. It's a big day in college sports in the courts. The NCAA is in front of the Supreme Court right now. It's not going well for the NCAA.
Did you see what the lawyer said?
No.
He said, well, we kind of feel like if they get paid, they're going to do even less academically. What? If they've got money in their pockets, then... then they're really not going to care at all about academics. So we can't pay them.
And here's one quote from Judge, or I don't know if it's a quote or maybe he wrote it. I'm not sure how it worked. But Justice Kavanaugh tweeted by Dan Wetzel. It does seem the schools are conspiring with competitors to pay no salaries to the workers who are making the schools billions of dollars on the theory that consumers want the schools to pay their workers nothing. And that just seems entirely circular. It's not going to go well for them, the NCAA.
No.
In this.
No. Got to watch that South Park episode.
Isn't a special standalone episode, I think?
Or
is it just part of one of the seasons? Because sometimes they'll
I don't know.
Sometimes they'll do a special episode on something that pops up and they'll put it out really quickly. Yeah, I need to take a look. I haven't seen it yet.
Are you leaving though?
I don't have any. I'm not. I'm waiting for the. Well,
believe him?
Leaving.
Oh, we're bringing food.
Yeah,
in?
I'm leaving.
But are you? Yeah.
Bye, bitch.
I thought y'all got called into the office about not saying
that. No, it was about something completely different.
Something totally different.
No one cares that we play that for you.
And Marcus Piavola is coming from Orleans Seafood Kitchen. Is he here yet?
I don't know. I haven't been out of the room in the last hour.
I don't smell it. We got a video to shoot today.
Isn't there a rule that if you stop working at 10, you don't get food if it comes after 10?
No. Yeah, there is a. He's not working anymore.
That's what I'm saying. He doesn't get to eat.
Yeah. How'd that work out for Tatiana?
Well, he was still working. Weren't you still working at the time? When you stole food from an intern?
No, he wasn't working at the time.
Yes, I was. Yeah, I think.
No, you weren't. You came from your office and took her food. You weren't even working.
Well, whatever. Don't leave it out.
You're a terrible person.
She didn't leave it out.
She didn't leave it out. It just happened to be on the table.
713-780-3776. It's me and Dell the rest of the way. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5.